Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Well, we've had great services so far today, and I'm really looking forward to hear our speaker this morning. Dr. Carl Herbster was the pastor of Tri-City Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, for over 28 years. He's been in ministry for over four decades, and him and his wife, Debbie, have been married for 44 years. Debbie, where are you? I saw you around here someplace. She probably heard the first service and decided to go home. I'm not sure, Doc, what's going on with that. I think she's out in the foyer with the book table. But Dr. Herbster and his wife, they have three grown children who are all involved in ministry as evangelists and preachers. Two of them direct camps, one in North Carolina and one in Louisiana. And his third son, he has three sons. He has Mike, he has Mark, and his best-looking son's name is Matt. So there's three of them. And they used to travel around. They would sing together in a trio. And he has some of their music and some of their resources out there on the table. I encourage you to stop by and get some good Christian music for your home. Right now, Dr. Herbster is involved in a unique ministry. For 10 years, he was the president of the American Association of Christian Schools. Here at Liberty Baptist Church, we have Liberty Baptist Academy. It's a private Christian school. And there's not a lot of voice on Washington, D.C. and Capitol Hill there to express our concerns and express our needs. This man served as the director of the American Association of Christian Schools to take the needs and the concerns of schools like ours to our representatives. He's done a great work with that. A few years ago, the Lord impressed him about the need, not necessarily just to focus on Christian education, but on the fact that there's a moral decline in our country, and morality, and that which is right needs to be brought to the attention of our representatives. And he started an organization called Advance USA. Tonight in the services, he'll explain a little bit more about that. But God's used this preacher, this man of God, for many, many decades, and it's our privilege to have him in our services this morning. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. I know you will, too. Would you welcome me with me to the pulpit of Liberty Baptist Church this morning, Dr. Carl Herbster?
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it very much. And it is a great joy to be here and be with you, and I hope that you'll come back tonight as we talk a little bit about what's happening in our nation. I got involved because of a friend of mine by the name of John Ashcroft. Some of you might recognize that name because he became Attorney General of the United States of America. I first knew him as governor in the state of Missouri and had an opportunity to get to know him on a very personal way. I'll tell you more about that tonight. But he was one that really challenged me about the importance of Christians getting involved in our government. And so many people complain about what's going on in our country, but then they don't get involved to change it. And so he challenged me to get involved, and I've been involved ever since. And I'll tell you more about how I've been involved, and hopefully you'll choose to get involved in some way as well. Because righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, even the people of the United States of America. So we need to advance righteousness in our nation, and by God's grace, that's what we're seeking to do in our nation's capital, and we'll tell you more about that tonight. Debbie! We've been together 44 years. I don't want to lose her now. No, I think she's out still at the table. There were people talking to her, and she had some CDs and everything out there, so she'll be back there afterward as well. I hope she didn't take the money and go shopping. That's just all. I hope it didn't happen, but you know, next to the preaching of God's Word, music, I believe, is the most powerful influence in the life of people. As I've worked with young people in the Christian school movement, I'm telling you, the right kind of music develops the right kind of young people. The wrong kind of music develops the wrong kind of young people. And I didn't get all of that early on in my spiritual life, but an experience happened to me as a young businessman. I spent 7 years in the business world before I went into the ministry. And as I got saved and I tried to raise our children, I bought a children's album. Do any of you remember albums? You know what I'm talking about? The big round things with the hole in the middle of that. A children's album. I bought a children's album and played it for our three little guys. Matthew was 19 months old when our twins, Mark and Michael, were born. So we had three boys under the age of two, and you did anything to try to settle them down, right? Any preschool parents out there, you know what I'm talking about? Well, we bought them this children's album, and they were sitting listening to the song, This Little Light of Mine. How many of you know the song? Okay, get your lights up. Okay, let's go. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And by the way, I can see, brother, you have an evangelistic church. They're going around the neighborhood letting it shine. That's very encouraging. And anything wrong with that song?
No.
No, I think it's good. But my three sons were listening to it nice and calm and under control. But on this particular album, every verse changed a little bit. And the second verse went something like this. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I know I'm too good at that. But I wasn't saved till I was 18, just remember. And so I have a little experience back there. And before it was all over, it was this little lion, boom, 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 boom. And you know what happened to our three sons? The three guys that were sitting nice and calm on the floor? They started jumping around the room. They were boogieing up and down and around the town. They went crazy. And you know what, folks? The words didn't change. The only thing that changed was the music. And I'm telling you, the right kind of music impacts our children, but the wrong kind of music. Don't you believe the lie of the devil that music is amoral. There's no right or wrong in music. Now, we may disagree what's right, and we may about what's right and what's wrong. But one thing is for sure. We need to understand there is a right or wrong in music. And Colossians 3:16 says, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make sure you have spiritual songs. We have some back there for you. And I'm sure that those could be a blessing to you. Our sons grew up, and now they're producing Christ-honoring music. Start out with the Herbster Trio, the three guys singing, and there's several CDs back there at the Herbster Trio. And then they even let me sing on one. It's got my picture on the back of it. And they didn't call it the Herbster Quartet, though. They still called it the Trio. And they've never asked me to sing since, so I don't know what that tells you. But it's back there. We have music CDs, piano playing. My daughter-in-law plays the piano beautifully. And there's a couple CDs that orchestration, music back there. Grandbaby CDs back there. How many of you have grandchildren? Isn't it wonderful? Well, our grandchildren sing on a children's CD back there. It could be a blessing to you. Our sons have an evangelistic team that travel together, and they have evangelistic music or the mix ensembles and everything like that. But let me tell you about the most recent CD, because almost 2 years ago now, it was in May of 2012. Yes, a little over 2 years now. We were getting ready for graduation at Tri-City Baptist Church, Tri-City Christian School, and it was graduation weekend, and we received a call from our oldest son, Matt. And he said, Dad, Julie's going into the hospital. She's been losing blood. She's very anemic, and they don't know what the problem is. My wife left right away to go be with the family. Matt has five children, and my wife knew that she would need some care to help out. And for almost 2 years, my wife lived with Matt and with Julie because of the tragedy that we found out when she went to the hospital. They did a colonoscopy and found out that she had stage 4 colon cancer. It was metastasized into her liver and into her lymph nodes, a very serious situation that required my wife to be there all the time to help out with the five children. And I started the process of transitioning out of the pastorate so that I could be there. And one of my former assistants that grew up at our church and went to our seminary is now the pastor at Tri-City. And I've moved to North Carolina as well to help out with the family. And March of 2013, the Lord chose to take Julie into heaven. And at 39 years of age, wife and mother of five children went to be with the Lord. You know what Jesus says? In John 16 and verse 33, in this world there'll be tribulation, trouble, right? That's a way, we're in a sin-cursed world. But he also said, be of good cheer. Why? For I have overcome the world. And you know, we can be overcomers as well. No matter what the situation, God can give us strength. God can give us peace in the midst of the storm. And of course, I think one of the ways is through good Christ-honoring music, and the most recent CD is one that was done last fall in memory of Julie Herbster. There's one of the CDs in that box is about 90 minutes of music, the entire family ministering songs of comfort and encouragement. It's entitled Resting, and my son who lost his wife sings that song, of course, Resting in the Lord. Mark married Julie's sister, Amy, two girls in the Setchfield family, and the Herbster family got both of them. They grew up there in Kansas City at the church, and Amy lost her older sister. She sings on that CD, Peace, He Gives Me Peace. Even in the midst of great tragedy and great loss, we can have peace. We can have comfort. The other CD that's in that jacket out there, it's a two CD. In there, it has the Julie's own personal testimony 2 weeks before she died. She gave it to the staff at the Wilds Christian Camp where they serve. And then in the funeral message by their pastor that was just so powerful. It's been used to bring souls to the Savior, to encourage Christians and challenge the backslidden. And those things are all back there for you. I hope they'll be a help to you. $15 for one CD. If you get two, they're $25. Three or more, $10 each. As a matter of fact, we have 12 out there. If you want to give me a $100 check or a $100 bill, we'll give you all 12 of them. You can take them all with you. But I'm just telling you, folks, there's going to be trouble in this world. You're either in it right now, and I'm sure there's some of you that are going through some tragedies right now, or you're coming out of a tragedy like we are, a difficulty, or you're going back into one, and I hate to tell you that, but what could be around the corner? That Friday, we did not know when that phone call came what was going to happen, that we were going to be moving to North Carolina and taking care of our grandchildren and watching our daughter-in-law go into heaven. But may I tell you, Jesus said, be of good cheer, because we can overcome. We can have peace. His grace is sufficient. I want you to turn to James chapter 1. And this morning, I want to give you some things that have helped us. God's word is sufficient. God's word gives direction. God's word brings comfort. And in James chapter 1, in the first five verses of James chapter 1, I want to give you three biblical truths that I believe can help you have peace in the midst of the storm. I believe can cause you to be overcomers by the grace of God. James chapter 1, I'm going to read the first five verses. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, written to Christians, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let me ask you, my friends, how many of you lack wisdom? May I see your hands? If you don't raise your hand, you're lacking wisdom. Right? Because we're all in the process. None of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. We all need the grace of God every day. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Father, I count it a privilege to be here with these dear folks and grateful for your word that is always sufficient. And I'm thankful for the way that you've helped us through a difficult time in our life, in our family. The Lord, the way you've given comfort and encouragement and guidance. And I pray, Lord, that as I try to share from your word and from our life experiences, I pray you'll meet the needs of folks that are here today. Others that may be in great trials right now. Others have had situations in the past that they haven't gotten victory over. Lord, I don't know all the particular needs, but you do, and I pray your word will be sufficient. It will work and do what you want it to do today. I pray if there's anyone here without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're not sure that heaven is their home. Please, Lord, help them to understand the truth that Jesus saves. Bring conviction and bring them to the Savior, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first truth I want to give you this morning is found in verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2, where it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, this may not seem normal. It may not seem natural. It may not seem the way we should go about looking at trials and troubles. But you know what God says? Rejoice. Count it all joy. Rejoice. As a matter of fact, Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord when things are going good, and when it goes bad, get upset. Get discouraged, right or wrong. Good, you know your Bible. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. No matter what the circumstances of life, we are supposed to rejoice. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Look what it says in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, a book that deals with trials. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly... Now, what's he telling you to rejoice in? Your salvation. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Are you saved here this morning? If you are, this world is not your home. We're just passing through. Can I tell you something? Julie's in heaven. She's better off than any of us are. And any loved one that you have that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is gone to be with the Lord, we can rejoice that they're in the presence of the Lord. No more pain, no more sorrow. It's hard for us, isn't it? We miss Julie. You miss your loved ones. But we can rejoice that we're going to see them again someday. Rejoice. He says, being much more, he says, though, now verse 6, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Go over to chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 12. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, God loves us. He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to prove you. To try you. Let me ask you something. How many of you have faced cancer in your family somewhere? May I see your hands? Look at that. Look around. A majority, it looks like to me. Thank you. Listen, we're not going through something that others haven't gone through. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, it says, there's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. Rejoice. God is faithful. He'll not tempt you above what you're able, but will with the temptation also do what? Make a way of escape so you can bear it. God can give you the strength to bear it. He says, don't be surprised as if some strange thing has happened to you. But look at verse 13. 1 Peter 4, 13. But it's hard to even say it, isn't it? Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. And by the way, can I say something to you? Spending 7 years in the business world, if you live for Jesus Christ, you will be reproached for the name of Jesus Christ. You will be called the holy roller, the religious nut. You'll take some grief. But listen to what Jesus said. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and all say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, folks, I know it hurts on this earth. I've been there. I've experienced it. But remember, we're not laying up treasures here on earth. Where rust and moth doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. What are we doing? What are we supposed to be doing? Laying up treasures in heaven. Where rust and moth doth not corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, now, please don't think that I'm saying to you, next time you lose your job, say, whoopee. Or the next time, you have a medical diagnosis that's not so favorable, praise the Lord. No, I'm not telling you. That's not normal. And I'm not telling you to rejoice in the problem. I'm telling you to rejoice in the providence of God. Keep your eyes on the Lord who has all things under control. Rejoice in the fact that God is still in heaven and he is still controlling the affairs of men, and he loves you and cares for you. Rejoice in the providence of God. Have any of you ever heard of Ron Hamilton? Actually, his picture's on one of the CDs out there because he was one of the guys that helped mentor our sons in music. Ron Hamilton is also known as Patch the Pirate. And some of you are, oh, yeah, now I know who Ron Hamilton is. Okay. Well, Ron Hamilton came from the same area of northern Indiana where I'm from. I served in the church where he grew up, and we're the same age. So if you see him, you'll know he looks a lot older than me, but we are the same age. I just want you to know. But Ron Hamilton heard from the doctor that he had a speck in his eye, and the doctor said to him, if we go in to check out that speck and it's an infection, you'll wake up with a sore eye, and we'll fix it. He said, but if we find out it's cancer in your eye, then you're going to wake up without an eye, and we want you to be prepared for that. And sure enough, he went in and had the surgery, came out with a patch on his eye because they had to remove the eye and they had to let that eye socket heal before they could put in an artificial eye. And he went back to church and was there at church and ministering at church with his patch. And some boys and girls came running up to the front of the church and they saw Brother Ron and they looked at him and they pointed at him and they kind of snickered a little bit. And then one brave little boy said, excuse me, are you a pirate? And Ron, being the quick wit he was, he kind of stepped back and he said, well, yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I am Patch the Pirate. And the whole ministry of Patch the Pirate that has gone international, worldwide, started because of a bad situation in a lot of people's thoughts. He lost his eye. But even while Ron was in the hospital, he started penning the song, Rejoice in the Lord, He Makes No Mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that you take. So when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. And now God has used Ron Hamilton and Patch the Pirate in an amazing ways because of him handling a difficult situation the right way. He rejoiced. And my friends, we need to rejoice as well. Count it all joy, not because of the trial, not because of the trouble, not because of the problem, but count it all joy because you realize God's in control. In His providence, He has a purpose. And that's the second thing I want you to see in James chapter 1. So if you'll turn back to James chapter 1, let's look at the second biblical truth that I want you to understand. What was the first one? What do we do when we go into trials, difficulties? What do? Rejoice. Thank you. And we rejoice in the providence of God. God's still in control. Number two, remember the purpose of God. Remember the purpose of God. God has a purpose. And when you're going through the trial, it helps you to remember His purpose. Look what He says in verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It's interesting. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect. Same word. Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, God has this purpose for all of us as Christians to be perfect. Now, what does it mean to be perfect? And I know none of us will ever arrive, but we're all in the process of becoming more perfect. Well, when you define Scripture, always make sure you define Scripture with Scripture. So go to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's just make sure we have the right definition of perfect. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start reading in verse 11, because it says He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what we're all about. Church leadership perfects saints to do the work of the ministry, and obviously Brother Tice has been doing a great job here in starting this church and perfecting saints to do the work of the ministry, because look what God has done. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. But look what it says then in verse 13. Here's our definition. till we all come the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a, there it is again, perfect man, definition, here it is, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is perfect? Christ-likeness is perfect. And God's goal for all of us as Christians is that we become like Christ. How many of you remember Romans 8, 28? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His. Hey, that's why you can rejoice in the providence of God, because He's working it all together for good if you love Him. And if you're willing to do whatever He wants you to do. So, Romans 8, 28 helps us to understand point one. But Romans 8, verse 29 helps us understand point two. Remember the purpose, because here He gives us the purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. God's goal for all Christians, His predetermined goal, is that we all become like Christ. That's His goal. His goal for all unbelievers is that they come to know Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're here without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But usually at church, most people that come are Christians. And so here you are, you've been born again, you've been saved. That's not the end, that's just the beginning. God's goal is to perfect us, to make us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes it takes God's refining fire to do the work. Sometimes it takes the potter putting pressure on the clay to make it a vessel fit for the master's use. You see, does the clay say to the potter, leave me alone, stop, no. Well, excuse me, yes, we do sometimes, don't we? I have to admit, going through this trial, sometimes just remove it. Lord, let this cancer pass from Julie. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's got to be our prayer. But I'm telling you, it's so easy for us to complain about the pressure the Lord puts on us sometimes to make us into the image of His Son so that we can be used for His glory. Let me ask you something. Did the Lord ever go through trials? Have you read your Bible? He had plenty of, as a matter of fact, they crucified Him, didn't they? I mean, I've never been crucified yet. I remember going through some trials in our church. As a matter of fact, at Tri-City, if you would say, oh, three, people would say, oh, me, because we had so many different tragedies. I've got a book back there on pastors and deacons, and the last chapter talks about some of the things we had to deal with as a church, and I praise the Lord for our faithful deacons and how we served together and how God gave us strength through all that. But we said, oh, me in 03, and we said, Lord, please, no more in 04. And then we just wanted to stay alive in 05. And we said, Lord, please get it fixed in 06. And if not, let's just go to heaven in 07. But it was great in 08, and it's been fine since 09, so it's okay. But I'm telling you, sometimes as we were going through that, I'd say to the men, well, they haven't crucified me yet. Now, there were some people that wanted to, okay? But they hadn't. And I said, we have it better than Jesus Christ. And no matter what circumstance we're going through, friends, don't you realize we have it better than Jesus Christ? Well, why are we surprised when God tries to put some pressure on to make us into the image of Jesus Christ so we could be used for His glory? So we can serve Him in a greater way. We can be a vessel fit for His use. Can I just show you one way that works? Go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I want to show you one way that God can really expand your ministry through trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All of us have been through them. The question is, will we allow God to use them in our life so we can be used in somebody else's life? Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of your Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all, what's the next word? Comfort. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We're here to serve. We're here to minister. And God says when you go through a trial and you experience the comfort of God, when somebody else goes through a similar trial, then you go and give comfort to them the same way God comforted you. You be used to comfort somebody else. Listen, folks, God uses people. God uses people to reach them with the gospel and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But God uses people to minister one to another, love one another, care for one another, serve one another. That's what local churches are all about, meeting one another's needs. There's people that have been impacted by cancer that I can now minister to in a greater way because I understand what you're going through. I've watched the effects of chemotherapy treatment. I've seen the deterioration of the human body. I understand in a way that I couldn't understand, and I can minister in that in a way that I couldn't have ministered before. My son, Matt, lost his wife, had five children, and some of you may have heard about the tragic bus accident that happened in Indianapolis, Indiana, a year ago, almost a year ago now. And the reason I know it so well is because the youth pastor that was killed on that bus accident was an intern at our church in Kansas City, Chad Phelps. He and his wife both were killed. Their baby is now being raised by the grandparents. But on that bus, there was also a woman who was killed, who was a youth worker going along to camp with two of her young people and came back and died on that, and her husband lost his wife and the mother of their five children. And unbeknownst to me, you know what my son did? Left the Wilds Christian Camp in North Carolina, drove all the way to Indianapolis, Indiana to meet with that husband and that father of five children because he knew. He understood. And he could relate. Folks, I've never, never had a wayward child. I thank the Lord I've never had a wayward child. Our sons are raising our grandchildren for the glory of the Lord. But I'm sure in the congregation here, there's some of you that have, and you know the hurt. You know the difficulty. You know the, well, guess what? Let God use you in your life so you can minister to somebody else that has a wayward child. I've never been through a divorce. Hallelujah. 44 years with the same woman. We just praise God for the wonderful marriage that we've had. Oh, we've had to work at it, because a marriage to work, you got to work at it. We've never considered divorce, murder a few times, but we've survived that even, because, you know, the Bible says something about murder as well as divorce. But you know what? In a congregation this size, I know there's some of you that have faced that and you dealt with it. And it's hard and it's difficult, but God can give you grace and then you can be used to minister to somebody else that is going through a terrible divorce. You can be a comfort and an encouragement in a way that I couldn't. Do you understand? When I was traveling almost every week to a Christian school convention around the country, and I was running into all kinds of Christian school teachers, and some of them were losing their husbands to different tragedies, and I would say, listen, pick up the phone and dial 816-795-8700. Call collect. You remember when you had real phones, landlines, you didn't have free everything, you know, and free. Well, I pay for it, unlimited. And on the other end, our receptionist at Tri-City Baptist Church had lost her husband in mid-40s and was raising her family alone. And her goal was to have a ministry to people that lost their husbands as well and to be an encouragement and a help to them. And they would call and they'd say, Pastor Herbster said to call because you would understand what we're going through. Do you realize that God has a purpose? Rejoice in the providence of God. He knows what somebody else is going to need in the future, and maybe you're going to be the one that's going to meet that need because of the way God gave you peace. God gave you comfort. Now you can give comfort to somebody else in the same way that God comforted you. We've had thousands of people around the world communicating with us and ministering to us. But let me tell you something. There's probably somebody in this congregation that needs you to be an encouragement to them, to be a prayer warrior for them. And even though there's a lot of things I didn't go through personally, as a pastor, when there was somebody grieving or hurting or going through a trial or difficulty, my job wasn't to meet all those needs. You know, I couldn't. I couldn't totally understand. But my job was to get people in our congregation with them that I knew had been through a similar thing because God wanted to use them. God was molding a vessel fit for his use in the life of somebody else. Even as Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, I came to minister and give my life a ransom. And maybe God's taking you through the trial so you can have a new ministry for his glory. Number one was what? Rejoice. Not in the problem. Rejoice in the providence of God. Number two, remember. Remember God has a purpose. All things are working together for good. He's trying to make us into the image of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trying to conform us so that we can be used in a greater way. Number three, back to James chapter 1. Look at verse 5 again. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and he'll consider whether he can give it to you. He'll evaluate you and see whether you measure up enough or whether you can handle the wisdom, and then he'll make a determination. True or false? Thank you. You're still with me. That's encouraging. When you study the Bible, when you read Scripture and you look at verses, you're looking for certain things. For instance, sometimes you're looking for commands. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt. Sometimes you're looking for prohibitions. Thou shalt not. Don't do this. Warns us about this or that. Sometimes you're looking at biblical principles. Those are general truths from which we then make specific applications to the day in which we live. Now, here's the test. What is this verse? How would you characterize this verse? It's a what? I heard it. Promise. Right? If you ask, he will give. Right? It's a promise from God. Folks, when you're going through trials, when you're going through tragedies, when you're going through difficulties, you know it's the time to run to God's promises. Number one, rejoice in the providence of God. Number two, remember the purpose of God. Number three, rely on the promises of God. Hide God's word in your heart so you'll not sin against him. You see, I find that in people's lives, trials and difficulties and tragedies either make you better or bitter. And you know what God wants? He wants you to be better. He wants you to grow through him. He wants you to learn how to trust him more. Have any of you ever been weightlifters? I met somebody over here that I think definitely is a weightlifter. You know, have you lifted a few weights? Yeah, I thought maybe you had. I just kind of shook his hand. Oh, yeah. How many of you know something about weightlifting? Do you understand what I'm talking about weightlifting? Okay. If you want to build more muscles, do you put on weight or take off weight? Really? Put on weight, right? You bulk up. You got to have more. Okay? If you want to have endurance, do you do more repetitions or fewer repetitions? More. That's exactly right. So that you try to do more repetitions. Why do you do that physically? To build up your muscles, to build up your strength. Well, why do we not expect, spiritually speaking, the same thing? A more difficult trial. A longer trial. You see, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is strengthening us through the trials if we'll let him, so we can serve him better, so that we can handle things in a more Christ-like way. If we'll wait upon the Lord, he'll give us. I'm telling you, there's so many promises in Scripture. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. It's a promise. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Cast all your care upon him. Why? He cares for you. Boy, go to the Psalms. In times of need, go to the Psalms. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. I would have fainted except to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. And I could go on and on and on. Hide God's word in your heart so you'll not sin against him. Do you remember Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, when the devil came to tempt him? And by the way, temptation is not sin. We're all tempted. Even Jesus was tempted. He was tempted yet without sin because he didn't give in to it. But he was tempted and he didn't sin. And you know how he defeated the devil? As he was there in his human body and human flesh, you know how he quoted scripture every time and said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." The word of God, that offensive weapon we have in our arsenal, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Listen, friends, hide God's word in your heart so they won't sin against him. You know, make sure that you understand the promises of God that will meet your need in time of trouble. God's word. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:13? It's common to man, but God is faithful. What's the promise? He'll not tempt you above what you're able, but also give you what? A way of escape so that you can bear it. He said the Apostle Paul, and he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." You see, folks, we need to grab hold of God's word. Don't run away from God's word when you're going through a trial. Run to God's word. If you want to have peace in the midst of a storm, if you want to be overcomers in this wicked world in which we live, God says, number one, count it all joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the providence of God. God has it all under control. He knows what he's doing. Number two, remember the purpose of God. God's trying to conform us into the image of Christ. He's the potter, we're the clay. Let him have his way. And number three, you know, make sure you hide God's word in your heart so they don't sin against him. Rely on the promises of God. Claim the promises, quote the promises to yourself, live the promises, and you can have peace in the midst of the storm. You know, I got down to North Carolina on Saturday. It was the time of graduation. Somebody else took over the graduation service, and I flew down to be with Matt because they found out about the cancer, and it was so advanced. And my wife was ministering there, and I went to the hospital with Matt and saw Julie, and we went in the room and cried. And some of you may understand at the Wilds Christian Camp, they have 300 or 400 college students come in during the summer to be staff, to minister to the 1,000-plus young people they have per week there at the Wilds. And Matt was in charge of all that, and the Wilds graciously took that off of him. But he said to me, he said, "Dad, I'm supposed to, normally I speak on Monday night to all the staff and full-time staff and part-time staff and everybody, and really, I still think I should do that. I'm really still burdened to do that." He said, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, son, I don't know how you would do it, but if God's burdened your heart to do it, I would encourage you to do it. I would encourage you to speak to the group." And sure enough, on Monday night, all the staff and were gathered together along with some of the rest of us. And Matt took us to Psalm 34. And I'd like to close with this. I'm not going to preach the whole message. Be of good cheer. But I just want to give you a couple thoughts that came from my son who was dealing with a wife with cancer, not knowing the future. And, of course, there's so many good passages here. "I'll bless the Lord at all times. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together," as we try to do as couples. But he got us down to verse 8. And I want you to look at verse 8, where it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." And Matt got before that group and he said, "Number one, I want you to remember, God is always good." God was good to put Julie and me together many, many years ago in Kansas City. God was good to give Julie and me a child and then to give us 5 children. God's been good to us to let us serve here at the Wilds. And God is even good in the fact that Julie has cancer. And if God takes Julie to heaven, God will still be good. God is always good. Number two, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And Matt said to everyone, and to me included, we can trust him at all times. We can trust him at all times. He says, We trusted him to put us together as a couple. We trusted him for our first child. We trust him for our fifth child. We've trusted him to help us with our children. We've trusted him to help us lead this camp at the Wilds. We have trusted him during this cancer, and we're going to trust him no matter what he does in the future. If he heals Julie or takes her home, we're going to trust him because we need to trust him at all times. And he came to the end of the message, and he said, now I've preached it to you that God is always good, and we can trust him at all times. And he said, now please pray that I'll live it. Isn't that where we are sometimes? We know. I know I need to rejoice. I need to remember what God's trying to do. I need to rely. I need to trust. God's good all the time. It's one thing, it's another thing to live it. And I'm probably just a partial dad, but I've been very personal to this situation, and I've watched my son go through caring for his dying wife and then putting her in the grave and watching him care for five children with his mother's help and take on the responsibilities of the camp. And just this last April, watch him take a new wife, Tiffany, into the Herbster family, a young lady that's never been married, never had children, but grew up in a family of seven girls, so she's probably got it all under control. I don't know. I've watched him realize that God is always good, and we can trust him at all times. What about you? In this world, there's going to be tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And through Jesus Christ, my friends, we can be overcomers as well. Father, I thank you for the privilege of watching you work in the life of my son and daughter-in-law and their family, watching you work in my life and the lives of so many around the world. And Lord, I know that folks here are either in a trial or coming out of a trial or going into a trial. Lord, might your grace be sufficient. Might you meet needs as only you can. Might you give peace in the midst of the storm. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And in just a moment, the piano's going to play, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. You're the potter, I'm the clay. But as thousands have prayed for us, and oh, the joy that comes from knowing Christians are praying for you. Some maybe even in this room have prayed for our family and our situation, and I don't know, but I know that I want to pray for you. If you're going through a trial, you're going through a difficulty, I appreciate the prayers of others. I want to pray for you before we close this service. And you would say, Brother Herbster, this is very timely. I'm going through something, and I need God's grace. I need God's peace. I need to be an overcomer. Pray for me. Would you put your hand in the air if that's the case? Wow. Wow. Yep. I understand. Yep. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I will pray for you. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And I pray the Lord will give you peace. I trust you'll take the truth of the word, hide it in your heart, so that you can be an overcomer. Can I ask this question? Remember I said that for all Christians, he wants us to be like Christ, but for anybody that's not a Christian, he wants you to be saved. You know one of the great promises of Scripture? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. If you'll call on the name of the Lord, faith believing, you'll be saved. If you'll turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can take hold of eternal life. Who would be here this morning and says to me, I don't know that I have eternal life. I don't know Christ is my Savior. I need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Pray for me. Would you put your hand in the air if that's the case? You need Christ to save you from your sin. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. You don't know that you've ever had a time where you believed on the Lord and been saved. May I pray for you today? Is there anyone like that here this morning? Don't go through another day without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's quietly stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. In just a moment, I'm going to pray and then the piano's going to play, Have Thine Own Way. Maybe you need to come and get on your knees and cast your care upon him. Lay your burden at the cross. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you. I'm sure the pastoral staff here would get somebody to pray with you. You maybe didn't raise your hand, but you say, I need to be saved. You come, just tell somebody. They'll take the word and show you how to know Christ as your personal Savior. Father, thank you for the wonderful peace you can give us no matter what the situation. And Lord, many hands were raised. I don't know about the situations. Were they physical situations, family situations, maybe financial situations? But some folks are going through some trials and some trouble that they need your peace. They need your comfort. They need your direction. Please, Lord, meet the need. Might they cast their care upon you, knowing that you care for them. And Lord, if there's anyone here without Christ, bring them to the Savior. Don't allow them to be comfortable without their sins forgiven and their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Work during this invitation time in the hearts and lives of people. I pray this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.